reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our callers. Well, this evening we have with us as a special guest Cal Grunvall, and Cal supports Radio Liberty, and we certainly support him and his efforts to educate people about what's happening in the financial markets. But I just thought I'd point out that today, why the market zoomed up 100 points, and the president is going around the country telling everybody how great the economy is, and the price of gasoline and oil keeps falling and falling. But I read an article just this evening that people throughout the world, and many people here in the United States, think that the price of oil is being manipulated in an effort to get the Republicans reelected, and that this is all manipulated. It is not just people here in this country, but people throughout the world recognize that, first of all, there was no reason for oil to have gone up as high as it did, because there's never been a shortage of oil. There was always plenty of oil. And so there's no real reason for the price to go down either, other than it is being manipulated, and everything is a matter of perception. Everything is a matter of how we look at things. And if we look at things and we believe the economy is really doing great, that there is no inflation, that America is prospering, that deficits really don't count, that the federal deficit has been down to $251 billion, down dramatically from where it was last year, and that the trouble is that when they talk about the federal deficit, they've never mentioned that the war, the cost of the war is off budgets, has nothing to do with the federal deficit. That's added on to the federal deficit, and then of course it doesn't count all the money that they steal from Medicare and Social Security. So actually, the real deficit this year is going to be well over $600 billion. But if you just read the newspapers, you're going to believe that things are really doing great. Now, what most people don't understand, because most people don't read the World Futurist magazine as I do, it's put out by the World Future Society, and of course, as we pointed out many times in the past, this is one of the key organizations in the country. In fact, until recently, their logo was a circle made up of three sixes, 666, and they certainly know what's going on. They certainly have the latest issue, which I'm holding in my hand now. This is the November-December 2006 issue of The Futurist, tells us what's really going to happen in the future as the world production shifts to China and India and America begins moving towards a third world country. They're talking about by the year 2030, and the massive changes is going to be in the world, and the whole world is going to be Chinified as China becomes the major industrial base of the world. And I might point out, with the full help and support of America's banks and corporations and the American government and the World Bank and the IMF, which we control, and the Asian Development Bank and the Agency for International Development, and we've created a wonderful miracle as we transferred American technology and manufacturing and jobs to China and to India and other countries throughout the world, because the leaders of both political parties, both Democrat and Republican, have a different agenda, have a different world view, because they dream a different dream. Well, with that as a background, Cal Grunvall, how are you doing tonight?
Well, good, Sam. It's good to be on your show again.
Well, tell me what your take is on what's going on in the economy and certainly in the gold and silver market.
Well, again, just because I'm kind of on ground level, I talk to many, many people around the country, and they tell me what things are really like. I talked to a home builder today in Minnesota, and he said the bottom has completely fallen out of the housing market. And he lives in the Minneapolis area. And that was booming before, just six, 8 months ago.
Hold on, we'll be right back. All right, go ahead. You're just saying that the bottom has fallen out of the housing market, and I believe that. Certainly, it's different in different parts of the country, but, in certain areas it's very badly hit, others it's very mild, and a few areas it's still going up, but nowhere near as rapidly as it did before. But overall, the housing market is beginning to collapse in America, Is that pretty much the impression you're getting?
Well, that's really true. I mean, interest rates are rising. They had to do that just to try to control inflation, although they aren't controlling it at all. They just made a gesture at it, but it's really affected the construction business and the housing market. And as you mentioned, in different parts of the country, it's worse than others. But of course, then Ford is laying off 75,000 workers, and basically, you know, as you've already said, we're getting rid of our manufacturing base. It's all getting shipped overseas, and the people that I talk to in different parts of the country, they're the ones that really tell me how it is, and they feel it, they know it. But again, the media will never tell the American public anything about what's going on.
Well, I think it's really so tragic. Certainly, you know, it's going to be increasingly difficult for more and more people to make the payments on their homes. And people, of course, have been using their homes as a piggy bank of refinancing. And, of course, as the house increased in value, just borrowing that money with the idea that maybe they're going to be able to pay it back later. But I really fear an awful lot of people are going to lose their homes before this whole thing is over. Certainly, the foreclosures are up all across America. Foreclosures on homes. So what about the industrial capacity? Do you have anything up there in Minnesota in the way of industries at all, and how are they doing?
Well, again, you know, 3M, we've got a number of industries up here, but everything is rather faltering. It's pretty much just we've gone to be a service nation, and even that is poor now. It's really bad all over the place. You know, you can't really describe it. It's really bad.
Well, I really think that this is what the average individual doesn't understand. When you hear about all the jobs that the government is producing, they're not producing any jobs. They're not producing any manufacturing jobs. There are jobs being manufactured, but not by the government, but by private industry. But most of them are in service. You can't have other people serving other people. You've got to have manufacturing. And we keep constantly losing manufacturing jobs and for the better paying jobs, of course, they're bringing people in from other countries under special visas who work for less. And, of course, so many of our jobs are simply being offshored. And we'll be back in just a moment here with Cal Grunwald. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Cal was just simply saying that he lives up in Minneapolis where they have 3M, some manufacturing up there, but none of the manufacturing is doing that well. I incidentally went out to get my car washed the other day, ran into an ophthalmologist I've known for many years who works as a volunteer in a clinic, and they take pictures of eyes. They have very complicated machines now. They can take a picture of the back of your eye, but then they send them up to San Francisco to have them read. And the gentleman was saying that, you know, he had actually talked to the man who runs this area where they do the interpretation of the pictures of the back of the eye that are used by doctors, really all, of course, Northern California. And talking to the man the other day, a man has a PhD, he said to him, well, now, do you actually do the reading? Who actually reads these pictures? And the man said, oh, I'm too busy for that. We just send them over to India and get them read, and then, of course, we get the report to you. This is happening increasingly with x-rays, with MRIs, with all sorts of medical studies. They're simply offshoring them to other countries. And the doctors that I was in practice with who thought they had the security of a job because, after all, they were highly trained and nobody could come in and compete with them, are suddenly finding out that the hospitals or the clinics they work for are simply sending the MRIs that they used to read and the x-rays they used to read electronically to India or other countries, having them read at a fraction of the cost. And, of course, increasingly why these professional people who thought they had it so good are suddenly finding out that their incomes are progressively falling. Are you running into that sort of thing up there, Cal?
Yes. It's happening all over the place. And unfortunately, the people that lose their jobs, you know, the news media never picks that up. You know, it's always some kind of rouge that they're putting out there, like this, you know, Foley sex scandal, or, you know, some football game, or it's always something to distract people's attention away from what's really happening and the real bad news. And of course, this is the Republican media, and they'll never say anything bad about the economy because they brought it on. But if the Democrats, you know, were in were in power in the White House, then the Republican Republican media would be blowing the trumpet about how bad the Democrats are and how bad our economy is, and we're on the verge of collapse and everything else. But of course, we never hear any of that because we've got a Republican media.
All right. Well, I think that we find out that a lot of the architects who, you know, had a pretty good deal going are finding that they can offshore a lot of the architecture. A lot of the engineers are finding that the engineering jobs are being sent to other countries. And increasingly, we're finding we're living in a global economy. And the jobs are going overseas. Americans are losing their jobs, or are they having to take lower pay? And I think this is the real thing. More and more Americans are making less and less money, or if they do get a raise, it's a very, very small raise, so that proportionally people are actually making less every year because of inflation than they did before. And, of course, this is going to have a profound impact, and this is why people who are tied into monetary increments, I think, are in very real trouble today. What do you think, Cal?
Well, that's very true. You know, the people on Social Security, they're pretty much just locked in, and inflation is rampant. I would like to draw attention to my paper a little bit because I did some, without going into great detail, but I did some research on the actual inflation numbers, and that's in my updated 32-page paper. Actually, inflation in the last 3 years has been about 35% a year. And
now, is that 35% a year, or is that 35% over the 3 years?
35% per year.
Uh-huh.
The last 3 years. So over 3 years, it was like 106.6%. And I looked at 8 different commodities that people use on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, anybody can read those international futures charts that I did to get these numbers. And, of course, I have that all in my paper. So I would encourage people to send for my paper and, you know, to request it. I'd be glad to send it off. One other thing that one of my biggest concerns, Dr. Stan, is what's going on over the Middle East. This is the start of World War III over there. Well, it hasn't started yet. Some people say it has. But were you aware that the Ayatollah Khomeini gave a speech on October 13th over in Tehran University?
Well, what basically did he say?
Well, he said basically he appeared on stage with an AK-47 in his hand. Now, that's an assault rifle. And he basically said that Iran's political and military leaders have resolved not to wait passively for an American attack, but to go instead for a preemptive strike against the U.S. forces in the Persian Gulf and Iraq, as well as targeting Israel. So USS Eisenhower left the first part of October, which is a huge battleship, and now it arrived in the Persian Gulf. It was supposed to either Friday or Saturday, the 20th or 21st.
Yes.
Yeah, Saturday. And nuclear submarines, everything is, you know, there. And basically, the Ayatollah Khomeini said, we're gonna do a preemptive strike before they do one on us.
Well, I think that if he's making a statement of that sort, that obviously he is working hand in glove with our leaders, because it would be totally illogical for Iran, even with the military power they have, to threaten the United States unless this whole thing is a setup, unless, as it was with the Afrikan War, with the Boer War back in 1899, from 1899 to 1902, where the leader of the Afrikaners, the number two man there, Jan Smuts, was actually working along with the people who were leading the English at that time. They were working hand in glove together, and it was a stage-managed war. The only trouble is an awful lot of people lost their lives, and so many of the wars are stage-managed, and I fear that what we're seeing, I mean, you listen to the Premier President Ahmadinejad, and you look at him, he looks like he really came from central casting there with his little khaki jacket and his little short stubby beard and making all sorts of threats to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And it doesn't make any sense unless they're trying to provoke a war. And why would anybody logically want to provoke a war in the Middle East or expand the war in the Middle East unless there is another agenda behind this? And what people don't understand is there's another agenda behind all of the wars that go on. It's just that the men who fight and bleed and suffer and die never understand that, and never understood the Korean War, never understood the Vietnam War, where the United States funded the Soviet Union, that funded the North Vietnamese. We even built the trucks that were sent to North Korea to carry the supplies down the Ho Chi Minh Trail to kill our boys. And if you'd really like to get into the back of that, we have an interview with Professor Sutton called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. So, what you're telling me is very, very disturbing, especially with that fleet apparently arrived in the Persian Gulf, on Saturday. And the question is, why would we send a task force, a 40-ship task force, over into the Persian Gulf at this time unless we were trying to provoke a war? And I really share your concern, Cal. I think that everybody in the listening audience should be very, very concerned, and we'll just have to wait and see. I would simply point out, everybody's heard about the 7/7 bombing in London. Most people don't understand that it came just about a week to 10 days before Tony Blair, the Prime Minister of England, who was very unpopular, was going to stand for election. The Labour Party was going to lose the vote, but after the 7/7 bombing, why Tony Blair's party actually got back in power. We heard about a bombing in Madrid. Most people have forgotten that it happened a week to 10 days before the election was coming up in Madrid, and of course it changed the political alignment of Spain. Isn't that just a coincidence that all of these attacks come just before an election? Sort of like the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was just a week or two before the November elections in 1962. And they'd known those Cuban missiles, the Russian missiles, had been there for a long period of time. But they found them just before the elections. And the American people really don't understand how this game is played. So, if there were to be an expanded war over there, what do you think that would do to the price of oil that has been dropping so precipitously?
Well, again, it would just give them a justification. The obvious answer is it would skyrocket, because now we're in a tremendous oil shortage because of all these nations over there. And then, of course, George Bush's popularity, which I don't know if it's at an all-time low right now, but it's got to be scraping the bottom of the barrel. You know, he would become a hero by getting in the war, and he's always wanted to declare himself dictator, and that might give him the chance. So,
especially, of course, with this new Military Commissions Act that certainly says that they can suspend the right of habeas corpus for anybody who's not an American citizen, but then, of course, they've suspended the court's ability to judge anything that the Military Commission does. So, if you're not a American, if you are an American citizen and you're arrested under the auspices of this law, the courts can't intervene to say, yes, he really is a citizen, but you can't get to the court because you don't have the right of habeas corpus, because, of course, the military commission will determine, whether or not you'll get to the court. So there's a real, real problem. I think that this is one of the most frightening pieces of legislation, and why George Bush would insist on getting that through before this election, I don't know. But I have never seen, not any time in our nation's history since the Civil War, has anybody suspended the right of habeas corpus here in the United States. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest is Cal Gwynpaul, and of course, if you have a question on what's going on, why, give us a call of 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But before we go to the break, Cal, would you like to put your telephone number out so people would know how they can get a copy of that report that you have?
Yes, my phone number is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. My website is probably the easiest, and most people find it the most convenient, and that's www.goldandsilverexchange.info, I-N-F-O, goldandsilverexchange.info.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome your call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Gwynpaul. And so you were saying, of course, that you were very, very concerned about what was happening in the Middle East. Do you want to pick up on that, or did you have another thought you wanted to explore?
No, that's, again, I kind of look at this as a fulcrum point in history, because once this World War III gets started, whoever is behind it or manufactures, you know, is manufacturing it, it's going to draw the whole world into it. And when that happens, anything can happen, whether it's, you know, physically or economically or anything else, financially. And when I'm talking to people just, you know, the last few months, I'm feeling very, very pressed for people just to get out of, you know, get out of the system. And I know I've talked about this before, but it seems to me like that's all I talk about. It's getting people out of the system, out of the banks, out of the stock market, out of, you know, annuities, out of the insurance companies, wherever their money, wherever their electronic or fake money is, and convert it into something tangible, whether it's food or clothes, gold, silver, dollars. I mean, just get out of the system, sit on the sidelines, because we don't know what's ahead of us. What's ahead of us is not good. And if people are really concerned about their futures, their family's futures, then they should get out of a system that has been untrustworthy for, you know, since it started.
All right, and of course, what you're speaking of is the fiat money system, a monetary system that has nothing behind it other than the confidence in the leadership of the United States. And I think that confidence is really beginning to falter, not only here in the United States, but throughout the world, where George Bush's popularity is perhaps 32 or 33%, which is really very, very poor. In fact, the only reason it's that good is because of that phony terror alert they had over in Great Britain, where they were going to blow up 10 transatlantic jetliners, and yet most of the people they arrested who were part of this plot to get on the planes and blow up, most of them didn't even have passports. They didn't have tickets to get on the plane. So why did they suddenly arrest all of these people? Well, because George Bush's popularity was falling, and he did get quite a boost out of that. But I'm not sure that is really going to work again.
Well, a classic, and I don't know if I've said this on your show before. Maybe I have. But don't ask me how I know, but I know. Before, with his popularity, what was at an all-time low. All of a sudden, you know, George pulled Saddam Hussein out of the hat. And, of course, they captured Saddam Hussein. But truth is that is not Saddam Hussein. That's a double. It's a patsy. Anyway, don't ask me how I know, but I know. That is not Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein is not that dumb to be caught alone in a bunker. He's always got men around him. If you take Saddam's picture, which people haven't seen now for months, if you take Saddam's real picture and put it up next to the one that they got, you'll see there's a dramatic difference. They don't even look alike.
All right. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two, and I guess Cal Grunwald, as we're beginning to explore what's going on here. And certainly, I'm very, very concerned about what's happening economically, and I wonder if you out there in the listening audience are concerned. And, of course, if you have any thoughts or questions about what should be done at this point in history, our telephone number, again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. I believe that we are entering one of the most difficult times in our nation's history. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and certainly our telephone number here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if you'd like to talk to Cal about the things that he is seeing, he lives up in Minnesota, and the economy isn't that good there. Now, here in California, while we seem to be doing fairly well, we have our electronic industry. But I think we're seeing a little slowing down of the building industry. But I will tell you, over in Las Vegas, the whole system is beginning to collapse. And in many, many places across the country, Palm Beach, San Diego, a growing number of homes that have been constructed that they just can't sell. And I think this is just the beginning of the tip of the iceberg. I think that we are overbuilt on homes, and many of the homes that have been built, they can't sell. In many of the areas, 80% of the homes that have been built are spec homes they're sitting on, and there are no buyers for them. So it's right now, I think it's a buyer's market, not a seller's market at all. But I think this is the tip of the iceberg, because if the Federal Reserve System cuts the interest rates in an effort to stimulate the economy, it'll destroy the dollar. If they've raised the interest rates, it will destroy the economy, and so they're sort of in a lose-lose situation. What are your thoughts on that, Cal?
Well, that's very true. I mean, they're walking the tightrope, and they can't really go one way or the other, because whichever way they go, it's going to kill something, either the dollar or the economy. So all they can do at this point is, as you probably mentioned, they can just print more money, and that's kind of what they've been determined to do. You know, the M3, they print more money or give more credit because everybody's spent their house already, so there's nothing left to do except print more money and spend it, because we have 70% of our economy is consumption, so if you don't give Americans some money to spend, they can't consume. Consequently, we can't, you know, stay afloat, so that's the only thing left to do. And, of course, when you print money, that's rampant or hyperinflation, and then, you know, pretty soon your dollar is worthless. So,
well, of course, it's really rather interesting what they are doing. They're not increasing the amount of paper money, but they're increasing the amount of credit and the amount of bank loans that are going out, which is just the same as money. And that's actually about 10% a year, 10 or 11%, according to Bob Chapman. What's so interesting, of course, the federal government refuses to publish M3. They've published M3 ever since I can remember. I'm going back over 40 years, and suddenly they're telling us, oh, shucks, it's just too expensive to publish M3. We can't do that anymore. But, of course, we'll give you the M1 and M2. But that really doesn't tell you what they're really doing. M2 is down around about 4.5% increase. But the M3 is the important figure, and that it gets credit and bank loans, and that's going up 10 or 11% somewhere in that neighborhood. And, this, of course, is highly inflationary. It means that the value of people's holdings, their bank accounts or annuities, the CDs, their bonds are losing value about 10% a year. So, and of course, in certain instances, it may be much higher than that. Under any circumstances, I think people have to understand that we are at the end of an economic cycle. And the only way out of that cycle, the only thing that is going to save the politicians, is another war. And then, of course, we can blame the wicked Osama bin Laden for the collapse of the disastrous effects on our economy. Of course, many of us believe, and I have believed for a long period of time, Osama bin Laden has been dead. But we can't, we can't let the American people know that, because the president keeps telling us that if we were to pull out of Iraq today, that's just exactly what Osama bin Laden wants us to do. If we pull out of Iraq, Osama bin Laden will triumph, and doesn't matter, he's probably dead. All the evidence is he's dead, but we have to have a boogeyman. If we don't have a boogeyman, how are we going to rally the people behind the government, behind the Bush administration, or whichever administration is in charge, because it isn't just the Republicans that are corrupt. Both political parties are corrupt. And the same people put Bill Clinton in power that puts George Bush the first and George Bush the second in power. And what most people don't understand is the political process has been corrupted. And those of you who'd like to really understand it will want to read my August newsletter. It's available at RadioLiberty.com. And you'll certainly want to read the September newsletter, which we've just finished. We'll be mailing out here in the next couple of days, probably the end of the week. And we'll tell you who really runs the United States, what their game is, what their objective is, and, of course, what part they played in 9/11 and what happened that tragic morning. Well, when we get back, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Well, Cal, the price of gold and silver has not been recovering very well. Gold hovering 580, 590, somewhere in there, and silver somewhere between $11 and $12. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's real, or do you think this is all being manipulated?
Well, again, they're heavily manipulating both metals just because of all the things that are going on that you've been talking about and have been mentioning. They're keeping people's eyes, you know, on something else, off a rising gold and silver, because when gold and silver were rising before, a lot of people were buying it simply because it's going up, and people's eyes were focused on it. Now it's amazing to me. I don't know. I'm continually amazed at the psychology of it all, and the deceit of it all, because the government does this just to control people, and they do it through their minds. And I've just been kind of looking at the overall picture of how we got started back in 1933. You know, Roosevelt and his big bankers, they orchestrated the confiscation of real money, because that is gold. And they gave people paper in exchange. Well, we've had that ever since. But now, as we mentioned, you know, we're at the end of that. We're at the end of the paper cycle, where our dollar is failing fast, falling fast. It doesn't have long for this life. And they're just doing everything they can just to, you know, make it have some value. But people have to reverse that process. This is what I talk to people about. You know, taking some of your dollars that are losing value, or your electronic money that's losing value, and put it into real money, put it into gold and silver. And then you become financially independent of the system. So it won't matter if the dollar fails at any point if you have gold and silver in your hand, because it's not tied to the dollar. It is money, and those metals are money in and of themselves. So it's a real simple approach. It's a logical approach. It's a historical approach. But you never read about any of this in the media, and Wall Street's not going to say it. You know, the pundits aren't going to say it. The investment, you know, bankers or brokers aren't going to say it, because it's contrary to what they do to make money. Like I was reading something about Warren Buffett on the internet yesterday. He was talking about cash is king. Well, cash is king. He was talking about money markets and bonds and CDs and things like that. Well, he's considering that cash. Well.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Cal Grunwald here at Radio. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Cal Grunwald, and Cal is saying that he is firmly convinced, and I think he's absolutely right, that basically we have a totally manipulated gold and silver market. Now, if you're looking and seeing what's happening in China and in India, why there's a tremendous surge of buying of gold and silver, and the central banks are dumping gold and silver frantically, trying to keep the price down. And even the United States apparently has been selling some gold. In fact, the gold they've been selling is not up to the deliverable. It's not the sort of thing you could deliver on the exchanges. It is a meltdown of remaining gold coins that they have from many years ago. And so we are selling gold in an effort to keep the price down, in concert with the other central banks, and all of the central banks work together to deceive the people. As long as they can keep the price down, people have nothing to exchange other than the paper money created by the central banking system of the world. And according to Professor Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, and I think this is on page 324 of his book, Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, The History of the World in Our Time, the central banks of the world work in concert to control their respective governments, and they hold secret meetings as they plan to create a fascist society throughout the world. And I think this is really what is going on. But right now, of course, we're going to need a crisis of some sort so they can expand their control over the lives of the people. So if you, of course, would like to give us a call, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Cal was just saying that you know, he is increasingly concerned that most people are trapped in this monetary system. They have this electronic money, and that if you really want to be free of this system, which is on the verge, he believes, of shattering, of collapsing, why he thinks people ought to be getting into things that are tangible, things that are of inherent value, whether it be food or whether it be other things that you could trade, or into gold and silver. But do you think the majority of people are doing that, Cal? Are they just standing by the wayside and hoping things are going to get better?
Well, no, the majority of people aren't. Just, you know, very, 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 very few people see what's happening. And a lot of people see what's happening, but they're just stuck. They're like a deer in the headlights. They say, well, I can't take my IRA out until I'm 59 and a half, and if they're 55 or 56, you know, do you realize I'd have to pay a 10% penalty and then I'd have the capital gains? By that time, I'd only have 50 cents on the dollar left. Well, that may be true, but that's the way the system's rigged up. It's rigged up so you're trapped and you can't get out. It's like a mouse in a glue trap. That's the way the system's set up. The government set it up that way. First of all, they gave us paper, you know, which is fake money anyway. And then they created the system that has everybody trapped, you know, psychologically trapped. So they're just stuck. And most people aren't willing to bite the bullet. And I'm talking to one man that's got a $750,000 annuity, and he won't even take $10,000 out of it because he doesn't want to pay the taxes. But he sees all the things that are going on, you know, the bad economy, the falling dollar and everything, but he won't do anything because he's afraid of paying a little tax. Well, he'll lose it all if he just stays where he is. That's what's so flabbergasting to me, because he just... Not that I don't make a sale, that's not the point. The point is that people, they don't know that they're being mind controlled. Talk about mind control. Our government is a master of mind control. And the people in this country are, it sounds bad, they're just like zombies. They just don't understand. And if they do, they won't do anything about it anyway. And then they're going to get caught flat footed and it's going to be too late. But it's just like, you know, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Well, I think that people sometimes are going to have to take a chance and at least take some of what they have in the fixed monetary increments and certainly convert them to something of real value, because in the long run, they'll maintain their value, whereas I fear that the currency will not maintain its value. It has never, throughout all the ages, when the fiat money system came to the end of the cycle, and I don't believe it's going to start and change at this time. And I think the big problem is that most people don't understand the monetary history of the United States, or what happens when the economic cycle comes to an end and the value of the currency is destroyed by inflationary pressures, which certainly would appear to be what's taking place here in the United States. And I think we're probably going to have continued inflation for another year, a year and a half, and we'll be able to tell when this is going to change as the government begins to contract the M3. But right now they're not telling him. That's why I think it's so important that people listen to our programs and hear the economists who are really checking the M3 and making those figures available to our listeners. And we'll have Bob Chapman, I think, on this coming Friday evening, and we'll be covering a lot of that. Well, Cal, certainly as we see the economy contracting, as we see the price of gold and silver manipulated artificially down, do you anticipate that the price may go up after the elections, or do you think they'll be able to continue at manipulating this more or less indefinitely?
Well, again, they have a tremendous amount of power to do that, but I guess what I look at this war in the Mideast as kind of the turning point. Once that breaks loose, or once that comes into the fore, I think gold and silver are going to rise dramatically at that point, because then everybody will be in the melee. And it may or may not be after the election. I don't know how it's going to happen. Nobody knows. But I think at that point that gold and silver will rise rather dramatically. And then people will be scrambling to try to buy some gold and silver, but there's a tremendous scarcity of gold now in the world. Silver is even getting in short supply. So that's why I'm just encouraging people, while you still can, while prices are down. I mean, it's a buyer's market right now. The people are just sitting there on the sidelines, scratching their head, wondering what's going to happen.
Well, I think it's really very interesting. I was just reading, as it started the program this evening, quoting from the latest issue of the Futurist magazine, the November-December 2006. Now, these are people who really know what's going to happen, in my estimation. This is why I take their magazine. They're talking about the outlook for 2007, and they expect that the economic disparities are going to grow. The ratio of the total incomes of people at the top 5% of the bottom 5% has grown from 6 to 1 in 1980 to more than 200 to 1 in 2006. But these disparities will continue unless more cooperation occurs between the rich and the poor to address the inequality. And I anticipate that we're going to see a two-tiered society here in the United States in the very near future, because I have to say that an estimated 3.3 million service jobs will move out of the United States over the next 10 to 15 years, according to the forecast of Reese Incorporated. Now, these are service jobs that are going to be leaving in America. And yet, it's primarily service jobs that we have here today. They're anticipating that pharmaceutical manufacturing is going to develop, going to migrate to the developing world. And the top industries are all going to move out of the United States. These are the predictions from the Futurist magazine by the people who really understand what's going to be taking place. So they certainly believe that the outlook for the prosperity of people here in the United States will change, and we are going to be moving from being a first world nation, the most powerful nation in the world, to become a second or third world nation, as the manufacturing and the service industry and all the other industries move into China and India, that have these mammoth populations that are quite willing to work for a fraction of what the average American worker is willing to work for. And with that would come the fact that the American people will become impoverished. But that is really the plan, to redistribute the wealth of the American people. It's so difficult, I think, for the average American to believe that or to accept it, but this is the reality. It's laid out in something called the Earth Charter, written by those great American patriots, Mikhail Gorbachev, by Stephen Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller, and a multi-billionaire, or at least the family is one of the richest in the world, far richer, of course, than Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, but they never allow you to know that. And then, of course, by Maurice Strong, who is a multi-billionaire, but he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and he had to actually flee to communist China, where he's living today. And a multi-billionaire, as somebody once said, the least needy are the most greedy. Maurice Strong got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and for a couple of million dollars the money he got from Saddam Hussein, he's had to give up his post in the United Nations and go to live in communist China, the only place he can be safe from getting indicted for criminal activity. But you're not hearing about that, but the plan is there. Their plan will be enacted. Maurice Strong would certainly be welcomed in communist China, because this whole program is an elitist program, which is exactly what they have in China. They don't have communism in China. They have an elitist system with a ruling elite and then everybody else enslaved. And that's what Maurice Strong wants. That is, of course, the plan of the leaders of this country. An elite and then everybody else, of course, controlled from the top down. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest this evening, Cal Grunwald, and we're talking about the economy as it is unfolding here in the United States. And in fact, I think one of the biggest bases of our production today is in munitions and the weapons of war. We are certainly the world's largest exporter of weapons that are used to kill people. And we're selling them to countries all throughout the world. And even little tiny nations are buying tanks and guns and grenade launchers and howitzers. And of course, we're selling all these weapons of death all throughout the world today. And that doesn't make me very happy. How about you, Cal? I mean, I think we ought to be producing something that's productive, make people's lives better, rather than a more efficient means of killing them.
Well, again, that's very true. It's kind of bleak, to say the least. I always kind of go back when I talk to people to, very, very practical things. One thing I've really noticed, not to be changing the subject, but I've noticed that as I'm talking to people, many people have bought multiple bags of junk silver. And if fact, in the last week, I ran into three people. One had 15 bags, one had about 20 bags, and one had about 18 bags. And there's so much out there now about investing in silver. Silver, you know, that's got the most upside potential, but people don't realize that, you know, it's a tremendous encumbrance. And you've got to store it, and, you know, if you ever have to be, if you ever have to leave town quickly, you've got hundreds and hundreds of pounds of silver. In fact, 20 bags is 1,100 pounds of silver. Well, what are people going to do with it? But everybody's looking to make a dollar, and, you know, not realizing, of course, that when the dollar fails, and silver, even if silver gets to $100 an ounce, what are you going to turn it into? There won't be a currency there to make money with.
Well, of course, what some people suggest is when the silver gets to be $100 an ounce that you convert it over into gold.
Well, then, but you have to find somebody that's willing to take your truckload of silver in exchange for their small bag of gold. And no one's going to be doing that at that point because it's foolish.
Well, of course, if it's $100 an ounce, you ought to be able to sell it. If it can't sell for $100 an ounce, it's not worth $100.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, there won't be a currency. Once the dollar's collapsed, there won't be a currency to turn it into any profit. That's kind of the point that people don't see. You have to have a currency to make money.
Well, of course, what I was suggesting is that people would actually convert it into gold. And gold probably will not go up as rapidly as silver. And if you can go from silver to gold, then you'll be in a good shape.
Right. Again, it's... I kind of explained this in my paper. You know, silver is used for barter. You know, the dimes, quarters, and half dollars are used for barter in situations where, you know, people need to buy a loaf of bread or a dozen eggs or a gallon of milk. And, of course, I discourage people from buying, a 100-ounce or 1,000-ounce bars of silver because they become very unusable in situations like that. So it's a real practical approach, and, you know, that of a person's wealth in the metals, I advocate like 90 to 95% should be in the gold because that's a very compact store of value. Very, very portable. It's easy to hide. And although it won't go up as much as far as the multiplier is silver, but it's going to be very, very portable. So it's a real practical approach. And I called somebody today that I sent a paper to, and he kind of laughed. He says, "I got your paper and I read about it," and he said, "I've been getting all kinds of literature from these coin companies trying to sell me these real rare mint state MS65, 66 coins and foreign gold." And he says, "I knew all about them after I read your paper. I was ready for all that." So,
what is your thought on the people who want to sell the MS65 or 67?
Well, again, they're hugely inflated as far as, you know, the price. In fact, I did a little bit of a comparison today. You know, you take a $5 Liberty, which is a quarter ounce, you take a $10 Liberty, which is a half ounce, and a $20 Liberty, which is a 1 ounce, and you will pay 18 to 22 times more for an MS65 $5 Liberty that you will for a regular one, you know, like an extra fine grade. 18 to 22 times more. And for a $10 Liberty, you'll pay 13 to 16 times more for a $10 Liberty MS65 than you would for an extra fine. And for a $20 Liberty MS65, you'll pay 6 or 7 times what you will for a regular one in an extra fine grade. So that's where all the huge money or the huge profits are for the big coin companies. The smaller the denomination and the higher the grade, the greater the premium. Then you can go back all the way to 1849 to 1854, and you can buy a $1 with $1 call a Liberty head. It contains 1/20th of an ounce of gold, and they're selling for anywhere from $25,000 to $60,000 per coin. So these are the classic ripoffs. But again, there are companies out there that's what they sell. Because that's what they make their money on.
Well, of course, the thing is that unless somebody's really an expert on coins, they have no business getting involved in buying these rare coins.
But the point is that the people who are calling these companies, they're asking the question. In fact, one man I talked to He said, before I talked to you, I talked to two of these companies. I won't mention their names, but they're two of the biggest scam companies in the country. And they said, well, we would recommend you buy these MS-66s. One was said 66, 67, and they gave him an exorbitant price for a half ounce coin. I mean,
well, what do you think people should be buying then?
Well, again, get a half a bag or a bag of silver, for your barter, and then I recommend the old gold, the old $10 and $20 liberties, but in the extra fine or almost uncirculated grades, they're very, very close to spot, and they have some protection from a confiscation. They have tremendous upside potential, which I don't really stress too much because I don't advocate you selling these coins once gold goes up. But it doesn't take long before you've recouped a little bit of premium you paid. You're in the black.
All right, let's get your telephone number and your website up. Write that, please.
Yes, my number is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267.
And your website?
Is www.gold, write out the word and, silverexchange.info. goldandsilverexchange.info.
Got it right. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. Cal, you go ahead. You got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, again, I when I talk to people, I stress the practicality and the logic of it all, getting out of the system. That I ask people, well, do you trust the government? They said no. Well, then do you trust your institutions? And then they say no. And I say, well, why do you have all your money then in their institutions? At that point, they don't have an answer. And then I said, well, if you bought a year's worth of food, where would you store it? They said, well, in my house. Why would you store it in your house? Because it's handy. And if something happens, I have everything right there. Then I said, well, then where is your wealth? Well, it's in somebody else's institution. Where is it? Across town or, it's across country? It breaks down at that point. People realize after I pointed out to them that if they really want to preserve their wealth, they should have it in their own hand. The old adage, possession is 9/10 of the law. So it's a real kind of nuts and bolts approach, but it makes sense. So in these times with what's going on with the falling dollar, all this world turmoil, and anything can happen at any time, people should take a look at their finances and their financial future for themselves, their families, and they should get out of the system as much as possible. Now, I did all this myself before Y2K, because they didn't know what was going to happen to the computers. And I'm out of the system as much as anybody I've ever known. The only reason I have a bank account is just that I run my business, so people wire me money for gold or silver transactions, and then I get the money and I wire it right out the same day, and I keep, $50 to $100 in my bank account at all times. That's how much I trust the bank. So I'm not preaching to the choir here, but just in a practical way, I'm advocating that people take a hard look at your own finances and what you want to do with your family's future, and then take some practical steps to get some food, get some clothes, medical supplies, gold, silver, get some cash. Cash is going to be good for a while as it is, and then sit on the sidelines, trim your exposure down to the government system. Because it's not friendly to anybody except themselves. And sit on the sidelines and wait and see what happens.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I think we're in for some very, very difficult times. And, of course, our plea to people is make your preparations now. And, of course, because there's not going to be anybody to look after you. You're going to have to learn how to look after yourself. God bless. Good night.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening has been Cal Grunwald, and then, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and, of course, we do appreciate any of you who can help us pitching in and supporting the Radio Liberty family of supporters and joining the Radio Liberty family, because that's how we're able to reach out across America as we do on 60 different outlets every week. and really having an opportunity to reach people with the information they're not going to get elsewhere. So let me simply mention once again, this will be the last time we'll be mentioning it, that we are having an all-day conference this coming Sunday at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. That's the 29th of October. And if you're interested in coming, we have to have your reservation today because we have to send in our order first thing in the morning on how many people are going to be coming for lunch. And we'll be serving lunch. Of course, the doors will open at 7:30 in the morning. The program will start at 8:30, and we hope that you'll be there. I think you'll have an exciting time. Our guests will be Constance Cumby coming in from Detroit to talking on the New AIDS movement, and, of course, on Javier Solana. And she's actually going to be giving two separate talks. We're going to have Chris Pinto there. And he'll be talking about the secret mysteries of America's beginning. We'll be having Michael Shaw talking about Agenda 21. We'll have Barrett Schoes talking about how they're using the churches to bring about the world government. And I'm going to talk about the day that changed America forever. So our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to come, you got to get your reservation in tonight. Or that's reservations in tonight so that we'll know how many people are going to come. And we've got well over 110, 115 somewhere there already scheduled, and we're really excited. It'll be the largest turnout we've had. So, again, our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We're carrying four videos, which we think everybody who is concerned about what's going on in America need to see. One is Alex Jones' video, Terror Storm. Then, of course, the video that's put out by, it's on about the Jersey Girls, the four women who lost their husbands in the Twin Towers. It's 9/11 Press for the Truth, and this has some of the most amazing footage in it you've ever seen. A lot of this footage, at least some of the footage, has actually been withdrawn. Some of it, there's an interview with a Mr. Khan, who is actually an English man of Pakistani extraction who was taken to Pakistan and trained to become a bomber. He was trained to hijack American planes. He came to America in 2000, and he decided he didn't want to die as a hijacker, so he turned himself into the FBI, and you'll actually hear him talk, interviewed, and he tells about how he told the government all about his hijacking plans in April of 2000, And what did the government do? They never even asked where in Pakistan he was trained. They never asked who the other members of the hijacking team were. They got him out of the country. Why would they have done that? That doesn't make any sense unless they knew all about the hijacking plan at that time, and they didn't want him here in the United States. You'll actually see an interview that NBC did, and, of course, subsequently, they suppressed that tape, that footage, but you'll actually see it in this 911 Press for the Truth video. And then we carry in plain sight, and it's an excellent video. And then, of course, we have The Day That Changed the World Forever. It was put out by our good friend David Wagner. It's got footage in it you will never see elsewhere. And when you put them all together, you realize one thing. Building 7 came down as part of a planned explosion. And if that is true, then everything else we've been told is a lie. And, of course, we now know that there were actually planned military maneuvers on the morning of September 11th with military exercises that feigned hijacked planes being crashed into buildings. How could they possibly conceal that from the American people? You'll want to read the article in Vanity Fair magazine for September. It's all there. We'll be back in just a moment for the next hour of Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And, well, I want you to know the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And we had planned on having this hour, Laughing Wolf would be on it with us, but it sounds like he's not going to be able to be with us. So we're going to have to do an open lines for the second hour. We just got notified that I talked to him earlier today, and he was doing fine. And suddenly we find out that he's under the weather and not going to be able to do the program. So here I am with an hour to go and absolutely nothing to talk about. So my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give me a call if you have a question or comment. And, of course, we'll be glad to talk about the things you'd like to talk about. Anyway, right now, of course, let's talk a little bit about what happened on 9/11. Because I remember so well that morning. Actually, one of my friends called me. I was up ready to do my 7 o'clock in the morning program. And he said, you've got to turn on the television and see what's going on. There's been an attack on the World Trade Center. And I sat there transfixed as I could see the North Tower and then, of course, the smoke billowing out and the flames from the North Tower. And then, of course, shortly thereafter, suddenly this plane swoops around from behind and crashes into the South Tower. Well, I had to come on and do a radio program. But after that, I spent all the rest of the day watching what was going on. And, you know, as I watched the program, and then, of course, they would break in, and then show the picture of the little children, the Palestinian children, laughing and celebrating the attack on the World Trade Center. And I thought to myself, how did they get that footage? But we saw this same footage over and over again. And, of course, very, very soon we were told it was all the doing of Osama bin Laden. Now, most people had not heard of Osama bin Laden before that, but suddenly we were being told that the attack was due to Osama bin Laden. And then, of course, the Pentagon was hit, and then the plane went down in Pennsylvania. Suddenly it was one of the most dramatic mornings that I've ever spent. And we watched in horror that day, and we saw the pictures of the people covered with dust, the firemen, their tear-stained faces, the look of anguish on the people's faces. And then I noticed that as some of the scenes unfolded, there was music playing in the background. And I wondered, what is music doing playing in the background? It's almost as if we're seeing some sort of a staged presentation. And then, of course, as the week drew on, I really began to realize increasingly that we had seen one of the most magnificent productions of all time. Certainly, it was about 2 days later when somebody called into one of my programs and said that there'd been an article in the San Jose Mercury talking about how Woody Brown, the mayor of San Francisco, had been warned the night before September 11th not to fly the following morning, to be very, very careful. And supposedly it was a security advisor who called him. Well, I chided the fellow who called in. I said, you know, anybody can call in here and say anything. I mean, you're going to have to send me that article. And so a day or two later, the article appeared. And it's exactly as I told you. But the reason that nobody knew about it is because somebody pulled the article out of all the other editions of the San Jose Mercury, and somebody pulled the article down off the Internet. Who could have done that? How would Osama bin Laden have been able to alter the truth about what happened that day? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. We're going to have open lines. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I was just developing the ideas of what happened right after 911. It was within 24 hours of 911 when one of my friends called me and said he had found an article up on the Internet. It was on the Northwest Airline flight attendant's website. It was dated in early July. It had talked all about something called Operation Bojanka, a plan by the Islamic terrorists to hijack American planes and fly them into the Sears Tower in Chicago, the Transamerica Building in San Francisco, the Pentagon, the World Trade Center, and I believe the other one was the White House. And there it was. It was in July. The plan was right there. But, you know, within 24 hours, that website went down. It was never seen again. And not only that, but the article has been written by Bill Gertz. It was known as a Bill Gertz backgrounder. It was written over his name. But when I talked to Bill Gertz later about that, he didn't ever remember writing the article. Now, we know it was accurate because this was included in Kristen Breitweiser's testimony before the initial Joint Intelligence Committee inquiry, headed by Porter Goss and by Senator Bob Graham, Congressman Porter Goss and Senator Bob Graham, both incidentally members of the Council on Foreign Relations. But, of course, when they put out their committee report, they never mentioned Operation Bojanka. Well, right now, of course, let's go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But it was very, very soon I began to realize that nothing we were being told was accurate. And the question was, why were there no planes available that morning of September 11th to protect our airspace? Why were there no planes to protect the Twin Towers after the first tower had been hit? And why were there no planes to protect our nation's capital? And those are the questions that haunted me until recently, when the whole story has become very obvious. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Stan. I just had an observation I'd like to bounce off you, and I don't know if I missed a lot of shows, so I don't know if you'd already covered this at all. But in the matter of the hoax on the football stadiums or the dirty bombs or the seven stadiums.
Right.
I think this is a rather obvious case that our Illuminati One Worlder burgers, these beasts, deliberately sat on the true resolution of this from day one, because either...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is going to be an open line, so give us a call of 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Roger is saying that he thinks that this hoax of, remember, the seven football stadiums were supposed to be bombed, I guess it was just last weekend, or hit with a dirty bomb or whatever it was. Roger seems to think that maybe the government had the information at the very beginning and let it get out just to sort of scare us to death. Is that what you're thinking of? They knew it was a hoax all along?
Yeah, and here's, we know that they can resolve these ISPs within a matter of 10 minutes, and then maybe another 2 hours legwork till they're actually parked at this guy's front door and wringing the truth out of him. Now, if that wasn't the case, then that's because he deliberately, anonymously, I mean, it's possible to email anonymously, of course. You just go to a nearby campus or whatever and do it where nobody can track you, but that would have required him to have turned himself in, basically. And we didn't hear that was the case at all. In other words, I think they had this thing fully resolved as to the nature. And right off, they said they think it was a very low quality of hoax. So I'm certain they had this thing fully resolved, and they deliberately lied from day one just to gin up the fear-mongering. Otherwise, they would have no reason to put it out like they did initially.
All right, fine. I'm very, very loath to say what happened, other than the fact that when I first heard the story, I thought it was a hoax, and I told people, and they kept wanting me to pick up and run with this, and I said, I'm not going to take that, because, you know, I don't think it's true, number one, and secondly, it sounds to me like it program of disinformation, I am surprised that, you know, it was picked up by the major media. I don't know that I'm that much smarter than they are, but it sure didn't appear very good to me. And I had so many calls from people who were just terrified. Oh, my goodness, it's coming Saturday, Sunday, or whoever it was, you know, there's going to be an attack on all these football stadiums. And I said, I just don't believe it. So,
well, I don't think the media should be faulted for propagating it, but the administration should be faulted for spreading it. And here, could you imagine any more sacred institution than the football game for them to touch to engender sympathies for Homeland Hitler?
All right, fine. Well, I really can't tell you, Roger. You may be entirely right, as they may have actually put that out just to keep us off base. They're playing games with our minds all the time. You always want to keep the people frightened that way, of course. They need a leader to protect them from the hobgoblins who really are not real at all. Okay, anything else, Roger?
God bless, Dr.
God bless. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there and you have a question or comment, why, first we'll talk about what you'd like to talk about, because I don't have anything planned at all. But we were just simply talking about 911 and of course, the evolution of my thought process as I began to realize, of course, that the story of Willie Brown being notified the night before 911 when our government said, you know, of course, we had no idea this was going to happen. Who could have expected that something like this would happen, said Condoleezza Rice. Who could have expected that they'd take planes and use them as weapons and crash them into our buildings? And the president said almost exactly the same thing. You'll actually see him saying that on this new video we're carrying called 911 Press for the Truth. And so both the president and Condoleezza Rice were saying that nobody could have expected they'd hijack planes and use them as weapons. Now we know, of course, on that very morning of the attack, there were several military exercises that simulated hijacking planes and used them as weapons, and this had been discussed many times by our military in the past. And the question is, didn't they know what was going on, or were they lying to deceive the American people? And I would like to suggest that government officials don't have any trouble lying. Certainly, we know that President Lyndon Johnson lied about the Gulf of Tonkin incident. We know that Woodrow Wilson lied to get us into World War I. When he ran for re-election in 1916 under the banner, he kept us out of war, knowing full well that he intended to take us into war. And President Roosevelt lied in 1940 when he ran for re-election, promising the American people no boy and no American soldier would ever die on foreign soil again, when he was already planning on the attack on Pearl Harbor. So we find that the government officials lie. And if government officials have lied in the past, why should we be surprised when they lie today? We find the president has said, we do not condone torture. We do not believe in torture. And yet, how do you explain the pictures of Abu Ghraib? How do you explain the pictures of Guantanamo? How do you explain the pictures of, of what we've seen and the waterboarding and the fact that in certain instances people have been tortured to death? How do you explain that if we don't condone torture? And then why did they pass the Military Commissions Act that allows torture, you know, up to the point of severe bodily harm? So, and then the president has said, I do not approve of making illegal people legal here. I certainly do not agree with these concepts of amnesty. All I want to do is allow people who are already here to stay here and become citizens. The president has said, you know, I believe English should be the official language of the United States. And yet, of course, if you go to his website at whitehouse.gov, you'll find that almost all of President Bush's speeches are there available in both English and in Spanish. So why does he say that these things when, of course, the truth is he doesn't believe them? You would expect that he would tell the American people the truth. After all, he professes to be a Christian, a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to lie to the public. You're going to be blatantly honest with them no matter how painful it is. Well, we've got Dave calling from Illinois, and again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we're going to have open lines this hour, so this is your turn. and this is your time to get in. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hi, good evening, Dr. Stan. I have something to talk about here. Senator Obama from Illinois, I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yes,
sir. Young guy. He is a flaming liberal. And I looked at his voting record in the New American. He's a complete socialist. Anyway, which I knew anyway. But the media is talking about big time. In our newspaper today, they're talking about him running for president. Well, I smell a Bill Clinton, only the opposite skin color, you know. I think they talk like he's the second coming of Bill Clinton or JFK, you know. And comes out of nowhere. And I just think they've established a pick to get behind this guy and just, you know, put him out there big time. So watch out, this guy. He might run in 08. And he is a flaming liberal. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that it will depend upon whether or not he's been picked by the establishment. If he's been picked by the establishment, if he's been anointed, they will make him the president. If he has not been picked, he doesn't stand a snowball's chance in Hades. And we saw this with Jimmy Carter back in 1976 when they took an obscure peanut farmer who had somehow got to be the governor of Georgia that nobody had ever heard of, and they made him the Democrat candidate for the presidency. And, of course, they put all of their power behind him and made him the President of the United States. They created Jimmy Carter, who nobody ever heard of, and made him the presidential candidate. And we've seen this over and over and over again. And if they want Obama to be the president, he will become the president. You have to understand, Dave, I don't know if you've read my August newsletter, but we simply go into the fact that there really are a small group of people who control our government. And it doesn't matter what the American people want. They pick the presidential candidates in both the Democrat and the Republican ticket. And it doesn't matter which candidate loses. Their candidate always wins.
Well, you know, I was watching one of the liberal commentators. I can't remember his name, but I can't stand the guy. He's a regular commentator on Network News. And he was saying just last night on some music program that Obama is a new political candidate, you know. Well, liberal. He's a liberal. I mean, what's new about that? He's a total socialist. That's new.
Well, I think apparently he's got a lot of charisma. People, yeah, he is intelligent. He's a very articulate spokesman, you know, for the liberal cause. And there are a lot of people, of course, who are liberals or who would like to believe that the liberals really have a solution to our problem. But the liberals don't have a solution to our problem, and the so-called conservatives don't have a solution to our problem, because both the liberals in the Democrat Party and the liberals in the Republican Party are globalists, whose loyalty is not to America, but to this globalist dream of bringing the kingdom of God to earth and destroying our national sovereignty. So, you know, I think that we will find out whether Obama really is a legitimate candidate by who's going to backing him. Who is he going to call in for his advisors if he's going to run for president? Is he going to call in Brzezinski, other people from the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, as George Bush did? What, 1999, he had a group of people advising him, you know, for his presidential run. 9 of his 10 advisors were from the Council on Foreign Relations. The 10th one was from the Trilateral Commission. That was Richard Armitage. So see who Obama surrounds himself with, and see if he has the blessing, the anointing of the ruling elite. That's how you're really going to tell whether this is simply hype or whether simply it's showbiz or whether he is going to be a legitimate candidate.
I think he's already got a Dr. Stan. Look how they're talking the guy up. I mean, I think they're already anointing him. I think that Hillary is the only chance. And it's my opinion, that this country won't elect a woman yet for the White House. Just my gut feeling. I don't think this country will elect a woman for presidency at this time. And so they have to have someone else. And I think Obama may be the guy that is chosen. That's, you know, I think a very strong feeling about that.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, time is going to tell. See who gets in and backs him. See how the game is played. Is he going to have the backing of the New York Times? Is he going to be attacked by the Wall Street Journal? Or are they going to simply give his candidacy the conspiracy of silence? I mean, certainly we saw this with Howard Dean. I think he was the candidate of a lot of the good Democrats and running for the presidency last time around, and they simply destroyed him.
Yeah.
Because he was not chosen. And they wanted to get somebody from one of their secret societies, and they picked a man named John Kerry, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, member of Skull and Bones, a fabulously wealthy individual. Hold on. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there, you'd like to give us a call. It's Open Lines Tuesday. Let's we had a candidate, had somebody all scheduled, and they talked to them early today. They sounded great, and then they suddenly announced they just didn't feel like doing the program. So anyway, we'd appreciate your calls. If you have something you'd like to talk about, anything else you'd like to say, Dave?
I have a nickname for Osama. I just came up with this. I call him Osama. I call him Obama bin Laden. I just think that's it. I think Obama bin Laden.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly think that he's a very intelligent. I think he's very articulate. And certainly, maybe they want to run him. I really don't know. Yeah. We've only been hearing for a few weeks that he's a potential candidate. Everybody keeps talking about Hillary. I really don't think that the liberal establishment wants Hillary Clinton as the candidate in 2008. Got to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. Right now, of course, they put out all these names, and then, of course, we can pick whichever one of their candidates we want.
One more question, Dr. Stan. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, one more question for you. We all see how the stock market is being controlled into utter insanity. The stock market is totally wacko. And we see how the gas has been, manipulated downward. How, in your opinion, how much longer after the election do you think it'll all reverse and go the other way?
Probably within a month. Why, we'll see the market come down. We'll see the price of oil start going up, especially if anything were to happen in the Middle East. Now, we have heard from some sources, which I don't know whether they're accurate or not, but, of course, the word is that something is going to happen in the Middle East to expand the war there. And so we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But if we do expand the war in the Middle East, why, of course, you can guarantee that the Iranians will block the Straits of Hormuz and the price of oil will go right through the ceiling. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Thanks for your time, Dr. Stan.
Okay, God bless. And we have another caller who's called in, wants to remain anonymous, but asks my opinion on, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this voter wants to know my opinion on the voter fraud in the upcoming election. And I would say yes. I believe that it is voter fraud. I believe that you cannot trust the electronic voting machines, and I believe we should get back to electronic ballots. I think these voter machines can actually be fixed. I think they have been fixed in the past, and I realize that may not be a very popular thing to say, but until we get paper ballots that are counted by hand, why, we're not going to have free elections. And anybody who thinks that you can trust these electronic voter machines is very, very misled. And, of course, you've heard my story about the one precinct in Ohio where there were 800 registered voters, 850 registered voters, and 4,000 votes for George Bush. And the explanation was the machine had a hiccup. The machine had a hiccup. Now, if you believe that, you believe anything. Of course, the man who controlled those machines in the state of Ohio just happened to be on the Bush re-election committee, in charge of the Bush re-election committee in the state of Ohio. We'll be back here in just a moment to answer your questions, talk to you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and unfortunately our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and it's going to be Open Lines Tuesday. So I guess Open Lines Monday, that's right. So give us a call of 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'd like to know what you would like to talk about. And I think that it's really so interesting as we've got some great new videos on 911, and I hope you all want to see Alex Jones' Terror Storm video. I hope you want to see this new one that's just come out. It goes into the background of the Jersey Girls and their battle to try to find out what really happened and why their husbands died in the Twin Towers. And of course, you'll see this, of course, in the video 911 Press for the Truth. And then, of course, we will actually carry in plain sight. And lastly, we carry the day that changed America forever. Well, we've got Richard who's calling in here with the 911 Truth Network. Hi, Richard. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, good, Dad. What I'm calling about this evening, I'm calling about the this Military Processions Act of 2006 that was just signed by President Bush, enacted into law, and I'm kind of concerned about that. I don't know if you've been following that or your listeners know about that, but I think it's a very, very alarming very alarming thing that's happened, and unfortunately, not too many people are concerned about it. But I think it's like sort of reminds me of Nazi Germany in the 30s, and you know, how does that go when they came for the communists? I wasn't concerned because I wasn't a communist, and when they came for the unionists and so forth.
It was the Jews, the second, the unionists, third, the Catholics, fourth, and then they came for me.
Because this establishes military detention centers. They just have to declare declare somebody an enemy combatant, and they can be held indefinitely without charges. It also legalizes torture, and I think it's very alarming.
I share your concern very much, Richard, and I hope all of our listeners will get hold of the legislation. It's about 35 pages, or certainly get the material that Joel Skousen has written about it. In fact, there's an excellent up on YouTube, and I think it's by a gentleman from MSNBC named Oberman, and he has one of the most gripping...
I read that.
And basically what people must understand is they have, first of all, completely neutralized or renounced the Geneva Convention. They've said that we don't have to have anybody that is a... We can declare anybody we want to an enemy combatant. And furthermore, of course, we can take the right of habeas corpus away from anybody in the United States who is not an American citizen. And furthermore, the courts, no court can intervene having anything to do with this. Now, what's really so frightening about that is if you get picked up and you're an American citizen and you're charged with being an enemy combatant and you're put in prison and you say, I want a right of habeas corpus, and they can say, you don't have that right because, you see, the courts have nothing to say. We've suspended the rights of the courts to challenge what the military commissions do. And you say, you can't do that because I'm an American citizen. How are you going to prove it when you can't get into court? And they say, well, it's only for non-American citizens. But how do we know? They've lied to us about other things. Why would we think they wouldn't be lied to us about this? And I'm very, very, very concerned that the implications of the Military Commission Act, which passed just last week, really marks the death knell for our country.
Well, we quickly put together sort of an ad hoc group to discuss this tonight. We had a meeting earlier tonight, and we're going to contact Sam Farr's office to call a town meeting to try to do something about this.
I hope you will, and we'll be glad to. You let us know when it is. We'll be glad to give you publicity. I'd be very interested in knowing what Sam Farr says about this. Would you tell me?
Yes, I will, Sam.
All right. Thank you so very much, Richard. Really appreciate your call, and I support your efforts to get that information out. Okay,
Stan, thank you.
Good night, and God bless. Okay, fine. Well, we've got Eric calling from Southern Oregon. Once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, this is Open Lines Monday because our regularly scheduled guest, who is Laughing Wolf, is not with us. And I hope he's not laughing at us, our predicament we're in, but I'm sure he probably was ill, and sometimes that does happen, and you have to cancel at the last moment. I've done that. And anyway, we've got Eric calling. Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Good to speak with you. First time I've had the opportunity to chat with you. I hope I can ask you a question regarding Iraq.
All right, you can. Just hang on. We'll be back in just a moment. And
thank you.
You can ask all the questions you want to.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I'm not quite sure what that music was or where it came from, but anyway, Eric, does you have a question for us?
Oh, yes, thank you, Doctor. And my question is this. If U.S. forces leave Iraq, as many now are speculating, where do you think they will go? Do you think they'll go to Kuwait? Do you think they'll redeploy somewhere in Iraq? Or do you think they will leave the Middle East entirely? And the reason I'm asking is I know we have very strong commitments to Israel. In the case the U.S. forces leave the Middle East, I really think it would be very hard for the American public to, at some future date, conceive the idea that American forces would re-enter the Middle East for any reason. We're really taking a shellacking there. So my question specifically is this. If we leave the region, if we're kind of out of the picture, what happens if, let's say, Israel and Iran get into a conflict? Would the United States Congress, would the President at that time redeploy troops in that area?
Well, first of all, Eric, I do not believe we're going to pull our troops out of Iraq. I believe we have. We're committed to be there. You have to read the plan. They're not going to tell the American people what the plan is, but you'll find it in a pamphlet called Rebuilding America's Defenses. You can go to. Do you have access to a computer?
Oh, yeah, I have access, yes.
All right, you go to newamericancentury.org, that's newamericancentury.org, and you pull down their pamphlet on Rebuilding America's Defenses. It's about 60 pages, and they will tell you, and I believe it's pages probably 14 or 15, that we're going to have to keep our troops in Iraq indefinitely. It doesn't matter whether Saddam Hussein is power. It doesn't matter. We are going to keep our forces in the Middle East indefinitely. So all of this talk about our pulling out, I really believe, is foolish. We may very well pull back into the green zone. We may pull some of our troops out, but we intend to keep a permanent military presence there. I believe that. And if you read the plan, and they've written it, it's there in Rebuilding America's Defenses. Do you know anything about the project for the New American Century? Who's in that group?
No, I don't, but the name is familiar. I've heard the name mentioned on other talk shows, but
right.
I just don't know very much about it.
All right, you need to get their material. And basically, this is the group that really runs the government. George Bush doesn't run the government.
Oh, I know
George
that.
George Bush is simply a figurehead for Dick Cheney.
Right.
And so if you go there, and we'll be back in just a moment and tell you all about the project.
Okay, thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Eric is calling from Southern Oregon and asking, you know, if America's were to pull its troops out of the Middle East and we have a commitment to Israel, what would happen if then after our troops were out of there and say Israel were to get into a confrontation with Iran, would we be able to put our troops back in again? And of course, I do not believe we're going to pull our troops out. We may pull some troops out, but we have no intention of pulling our troops out of the Middle East because George Bush does not make the decisions. The decisions were made long ago. This was a long-range plan, and I simply gave him a reference to a website called www.newamericancentury.org, newamericancentury.org. And if you go to that website, you'll find that their statement of principles of this group called the Project for the New American Century. The first entry there is 1997. And here they are 27 people who are planning on how they're going to set up a new international order that will be good for our profits and good for our position. And who are they? Why, they're Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, Scooter Liddy, the gentleman who's the American ambassador to Iraq at the present time, Gary Bauer, whose job it was to mislead the conservative Christians, Frank Gaffney, whose job it was to lead the conservatives, William Bennett, whose job was to mislead the Catholics, Norman Potter Oates, whose job it was to mislead the the Jewish contingent in our population, Elliot Abrams, and there are 27 people in all, but you can sort of get a picture of how powerful these people were, especially, and of course, later on they picked up William Pearl and the Chris James Schlesinger and men of this caliber. But here they are in 1997, they're talking about how we've just got to have America dominate the world. 1998, they write a letter to President Clinton demanding we go to war with Iraq. Now, this is 1998. In the year 2000, you'll find another letter. In 1998, they're demanding we go to war with Iraq. And that's the year they published the Rebuilding America's Defenses, where they talk about how we're really not going to be able to carry out our program, really, unless there's a catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. You'll find that on page 51. Unless there is a catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. And then, of course, they talk about the necessity of keeping our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. So that was the plan. Right after the 9/11 attack, they write another letter to President Bush, this time, demanding we expand our position in Iraq. This is, I think, September 20th, or just within a week of the 9/11 attack. So the attack on Iraq had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. It had nothing to do with Israel. It had to do with the idea that we were going, of course, to dominate the Middle East and we were going to rule the world. This is what it's really all about. It's all about the New World Order. And of course, these 9/11 attack was the catastrophic and catalyzing event.
May I ask you, do you agree or disagree with Pat Buchanan's assessment that the neocons pretty much directed George Bush, and I agree with you, George Bush is not the real president, but do you agree with Pat Buchanan when he says that this war was in Iraq was basically to provide Israel with security?
This war is going to end up with the destruction of Israel. Now, I don't believe that God's ever going to allow Israel to be destroyed, but I anticipate that hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Jews are going to be destroyed and die in the coming conflict over there. This whole thing is to engender hatred for Israel and engender hatred for the United States. I mean, who is funding this whole Islamic movement? Who set up Hamas, this terrible movement? Why, the Mossad and the CIA actually set up Hamas, and you can get that covered in the book we carry called The Devil's Game. I mean, who put the Ayatollahs into power in Iran? Who installed them there? We did, back in 1979. Why would we have done that? I believe this is long-term planning. I think they know exactly what they're doing.
I agree with you, but do you support defending Israel against Iran?
I believe that God is going to defend Israel. I believe that, that what the internationals are planning is they want to destroy Israel, and that's what this is really all about, to get the Israelis all back behind that wall and then just wipe them out.
Well, do you think we should assist Israel by sending troops if needed?
I don't believe that God needs our help. And I believe, of course, I really believe that it doesn't matter what I think, but I believe that we're seeing enacted today a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield.
Don't you think American troops should fight and die for America and not for Israel?
Absolutely, but I don't think we have any business over there in the first place.
Exactly. But why do we have such a strong commitment to Israel? Could it be because of the very powerful Jewish lobby in America? Do you think that has something to do with it?
Well, of course, that, of course, is the common idea that the Jews are running America. And I would simply point out, if you really look at the Oslo Accord and some of these other agreements that we've forced on the Jewish people, we forced them to give up so much of their land. Why would you have done that? And why would you, of course, have pulled back from Gaza? Why would you try to get the Jews to pull out of Samaria, which is right in the very heart of the land there? No, I believe that the real purpose, and I believe Jerry Savage is very, very accurate in what he says. And as you know, Jerry Savage is a Jewish patriot. He really doesn't understand the spiritual element of this. He's certainly not even coming from the traditional Jewish point of view. He's just a Jewish patriot, but he believes that the Council on Foreign Relations crowd controls the government of Israel and is using it to destroy Israel, and I agree with him. And I do not believe that we have any business over there. I believe that we should be defending America, and I said we never should have gone into Afghanistan. We should never have gone into Iraq, but we should never have been interfering with all the affairs. We should have never put the Ayatollah Khomeini in power in 1979. We should not have been instrumental in bringing Musharraf to power. We should not have backed Saddam Hussein all the way in the 1980s. We're playing this whole game. We're backing both sides. We backed both sides during the Iraqi-Iranian war. Why would you do something like that?
Well, would you prohibit American congressmen and senators from accepting money from AIPAC and other pro-Israel groups?
I think that what we ought to do is take away the power from our congressmen, and I don't believe you should ever take it from somebody who has a foreign involvement. Yes.
Exactly.
Hey, we're out of time.
Okay, thank you.
God bless. And right now, let's go to our next caller. Who I guess is this Hart from Louisiana or Mark from Iowa?
Hartwell from Louisiana.
All right, fine. Go right ahead.
Okay, you mentioned that the Palestinian children were laughing after the Twin Towers were hit by airplanes.
That was what we saw on television.
Yeah. Now, why do you think they were laughing?
Oh, I believe the whole thing was staged. I believe this whole thing was staged to generate an emotional response from the American people. I'm talking about, of course, Hart's talking about what we saw on the morning of 9/11. And, of course, that whole television spectacular was staged. It could come right out of Hollywood. Where did they have those pictures? I believe that the whole thing was staged to get us to hate the Palestinians and to begin to create a hatred, an intense hatred for the Muslims. You can't have a war unless we get us to hate them and them to hate us. That's what's going on.
That's very well explained. Thank you so much.
Okay, fine.
May God bless.
And God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is open line, so if you'd like to give us a call, this is your chance. And we've got now Mark calling from Iowa. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Mike.
Mike calling from, okay, go.
Mike, yes, from Iowa. Yes, Dr. Stan. I don't hear much on this topic. I've done quite a bit of research, and what I had found is that you've heard of Euro dollars?
Yes, I have.
And all oil is sold through petrodollars.
All right. Well, first of all, you have to separate a euro dollar from the euro. The euro is not a dollar, but there are European dollars that are generated by European banks, and then of course there's petrodollars, and that of course is what we use.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What's your point?
I'm sorry. The term I used the wrong term. I meant petrodollars.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
Oil transfers on the face of this planet.
Right, go ahead.
And in the year 2000, Saddam Hussein changed to petro-euro.
Right.
And he was the first, it was the first country. And Russia was interested, along with other countries, of banding together with Iraq and making oil transfers in euros rather than in dollars. Way back when, we had the gold standard where the dollar was backed by gold, and then for a while it wasn't backed by anything, and then by default by petrodollars, it was backed by oil.
And I think for our listeners, what Mike is basically saying is you had to have dollars to buy oil, and the oil countries agreed to sell their oil for dollars in exchange for the American government agreeing to support the Islamic countries, the oil-producing countries. You're absolutely right. Go ahead, Mike.
Which meant that that gave the dollar backing, the United States dollar. And it also meant that foreign countries had to have United States dollars if they wish to make oil transfers.
Right. Go ahead. Good.
So in 2000, Saddam Hussein was the first country on the face of this planet to decide that he would go to petro-euros. The Bush administration felt that this would destabilize the dollar. So I think that is one, there's a plethora of reasons why we went to war with Iraq, but I think that that is the keystone. Notice that after the Iraqi war that we are currently in, that they changed back to petrodollars, and I do not believe that that is happenstance.
All right, fine. Well, I think that the point that you're making is well taken, but I believe that there was another agenda there, and I believe that the decision was made long before that we were going to go to war with Iraq.
I think this is one
of the excuses that's given, because we have to give the excuse to the American people, but we cannot really tell the American people the truth, because they couldn't accept the truth, is, and that is that our leaders intend to drag us into a destructive, genocidal war in the Middle East, that is going to end up destroying our own nation. They're destroying this nation, but they have to give us an excuse, and the excuse that you've given me is one of the excuses that's certainly given. There's other excuses. The other excuses were there to protect Israel. There's another one that we're certainly there because we wanted the oil. We wanted to control the oil of the Middle East. These are all factors, but I don't think it's the real reason. But anyway, anything else, Mike?
I think it's one of the keystone reasons. Another one, which you just touched upon, that deals with the theme of oil, is the phenomenon of peak oil. Hubert, I don't know if you've heard of Hubert.
Hubert's Peak, yes, I have.
Yes, he was a Shell oil man. And was it, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it in the 50s his equation stipulated that it would be in the 1970s, which is looking far forward, in the 1970s, that just CONUS, at least CONUS, Continental United States, would reach peak oil in the 70s, his equation stipulated, and he was right on the money.
But why was he right on the money, and how did he know in the 1950s that the United States natural gas and oil production would peak in the year 1971 was his prediction. And,
yes,
of course, the reason he knew it was because the oil companies were financing an environmental movement that was going to shut down the oil production in the United States.
Well, he figured out a macrocosm by using a microcosm.
I believe that Hubert was simply paid to do what he's done. I believe this is a scam. If I could suggest, we're running out of time because I've got a whole board full. If I could suggest you go up on my website at RadioLiberty.com, read my two articles there on myth of peak oil, and then we're going to do open lines on Wednesday. After reading those two articles, give me a call on Wednesday evening. Would love to talk to you again, okay?
Very nice talking to you.
Good night. God bless. And let's go to, is this Jason in Watsonville?
No, sir. My name is George. I'm from New Mexico.
All right, fine, George. Go ahead. Did you have a question or comment?
An interesting comment. I'm a twice honorably discharged veteran from the U.S. Air Force, and my job was to train East and West Germany, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Jordan, UAE, and on for the next war during the Vietnam War. But my comment was about the effect on the Second Amendment that this new signing of law, that Military Commissions Act, I think they're calling it.
Yes, sir. Military Commission Act.
If we're citizens, we have a Second Amendment. If we're declared non-citizens, we have no right to firearms. I believe it's moot. There should be a screaming. There's been no review, an immediate callback of Congress to review this thing, the issue of a 10-day hiatus between a signing and a non-sitting Congress, and a review not being brought. And, my gosh, Keith Olbermann did a great job.
Isn't that a magnificent? For those of you who haven't seen that remark, it's up on YouTube by Keith Olbermann, and it's one of the most powerful things I've ever seen.
It's wonderful. Dr. Stan, I can't thank you enough, but one last comment. Our dear Attorney General Janet Reno had quite a little list of what things were that declared you an incident terrorist. Any four people, your parents and mine, playing bridge with a terrorist group. This conversation is such. Anyone possessing a 100-pound sack of cornmeal or beans is a terrorist, and on. It looks interesting. I think we need to get right with the maker.
Amen to that. God bless. Thanks very much for calling.
Oh, gosh, thanks for being on the air. Let's keep it going as long as we can,
okay,
sir.
We will. Bye-bye. Let's go to Jason calling from Watsonville. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Dr. Stan?
Doing fine.
Well, I just want to add a comment and then a question here. I did see that movie, that 911 Press for Two, the Jersey Girls.
What did you think of it?
Oh, I mean, I've seen probably about 15 911 movies. I've seen many of them, but this one was exceptional. It's probably, if not the best, it's definitely right in the top three.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. That's where we're carrying it, of course, that, and we're carrying Alex Jones, of course, Terry Storm, and Andrews in plain sight, and another one most people haven't seen, and that's, of course, The Day That Changed America Forever, 911. But anyway, anything else you'd like to see?
Yeah, well, one, there's a new movie that just came out, and actually you can get off of either Alex Jones' website, or you can go to freedomtofascism.com, and that's the name of the movie, is America from Freedom to Fascism by Hollywood producer Aaron Russo. Have you heard about that?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Yes, this is Dr. Stan here, and we've got Jason calling from Watsonville. Yes, we've actually talked to Aaron. I have not been able to get I have not seen the film. Aaron was going to send me a copy, and then he changed the means of distribution, so he didn't send me the DVD. And so if you, basically we would want certainly to get the DVDs and offer them to our ministry. I understand it is a powerful, powerful DVD, has the potential to save America.
Absolutely. I saw the movie in a private screening back in March in San Jose, and it is so well put together. He exposes, you know, a lot of the stuff that Alex Jones exposes as part of the, you know, the total tyranny and New World Order, but something that no one really has done yet is exposing the Federal Reserve and the IRS and the income tax, and that there's no law requiring American citizens to pay an income tax. And that's something that's really going to make a huge impact on people, especially when he interviews a former IRS commissioner named Sheldon Cohen. It's funny because no one wanted to talk to Aaron. He was going on a mission, being objective, asking many IRS people, say, "Hey, where's the law that requires us to pay income tax?" And no one wanted to answer him. Finally, this guy did. He's a former IRS commissioner, and he actually wrote part of the tax code. And I tell you what, when you see this interview, it's absolutely, it's embarrassing for the IRS, because he did not only could he not give Aaron Russo an answer as far as where the law is, but when Aaron started talking about Supreme Court decisions, and then this former IRS commissioner is saying, well, these Supreme Court decisions are irrelevant today, even though they've never been overruled. And so it is definitely something that every concerned American citizen should watch. And anyone can get it now. If you go to freedomtofascism.com, you can either order the DVD or you can watch it on Google, I think, for free.
You can. Let me suggest, first of all, you watch it, and then secondly, get it and circulate it and get it out to people. And we will be carrying them, but you go ahead and get it if you can. Watch it and understand that, you know, time is running out for our country. But I will tell you one thing, Jason. I've been at this for 44 years, and I've never been as optimistic as I am now, because there is an awakening across America we have never seen before. And it's a lot among the young people who really don't understand too much, except they know that something's wrong, and they understand that they're losing their freedom, and they want to do something about it. And they're idealistic enough that they really can. Hold on, we'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Jason, I'm going to have to let you go, but God bless. Do you have anything else you want to say before I let you go?
That's it. Are you on every night?
We're on 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. And then we do a Saturday program, too. So,
fantastic.
God bless. Thanks very much.
Thanks for
calling. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. And, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there and you can help us, we'd sure appreciate it, because we're on 60 stations across America. We're reaching people, but quite frankly, we need your help to continue doing it. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, we'd love to welcome you aboard. And then we, of course, want to remind you that this is the last day to make your reservations for our all-day conference. It's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course on the Sunday, the 29th of October, that's this coming Sunday. Our doors open at 7:30. Our program starts at 8:30, and there's going to be a great time had by all. So we're bringing in speakers from Detroit, Michigan, from Southern California. We're certainly bringing in speakers from across the hill and right here in Santa Cruz. And I think you'll find it a fascinating opportunity to meet people, find out what's going on in other areas, to get the information you need to get out across America. So our telephone number is, if you'd like to make a reservation, you're going to have reservations because we're serving lets. We have to know, and we have to let them know tomorrow how many people are going to be there. So tonight's the night. If you want to come, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And we'll certainly hope that you can make it and bring as many people as you can. We've got over 110 people signed up today. It's the largest conference we've had, and I hope that there'll be more people putting in the reservations tonight. Again, 1-800-544-8927 if you want to come to our annual Radio Liberty Conference. And we got people coming from all over the country, not only to speak, but just because they want to hear what's going on. Well, then, of course, is we want to mention those four videos we're carrying. Terror Storm, Alex Jones, 911, Press for the Truth, In Plain Sight, and 911, The Day That Changed America Forever. Those four videos we've got, if you watch those, why, you'll get a tremendous amount of information. And then to really understand it, and everybody talks about it, but they can't put things into a clear perspective, and that's why, of course, you need to get our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. A lot of people are concerned about what's going on as far as Israel is concerned, the Holocaust, and did it occur or did it not occur? And where does Israel fit into the picture as we see the world unfolding? We've got a great new video. It's called The Holocaust. Now we have another, this is a four tape set called The Holocaust. And let me suggest that you get it. And there's one interview with a man who was at Auschwitz. He was about 15 at the time during the Second World War. And others with a woman who was there and sent from concentration camp to concentration camp. And then Mrs. Werthmann, who was in China, in Austria, during the Second World War under the Nazis. And then Barry Shamish, who's a very Jewish patriot, who gives his impression of what's going on with Israel today. I think that should be a great tape set. It's called The Holocaust, What Really Happened. And then, of course, we hope that many of you want to get some of the other material we have. Certainly the Wisdom of Malachi Martin, the four tape set for the Jewish a Jesuit priest. And, of course, we encourage people to get his book, Hostage to the Devil, written back at about 1980. It's the story of five exorcisms documented by the Catholic Church. It is a book you will never forget. Hostage to the Devil by Malachi Martin. If you get that along with a four tape set, at a very, very special offering. That's the Malachi Martin special, and so many other things available from Radio Liberty. So if you're interested, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you. Thank you.
afternoon. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe floating through the void of Yah's creation, it is Monday, October 23rd, 2006, and I am pleased to say that, yes, there is a snowball effect that is occurring from the broadcast that was on CNN. Jack Cafferty's Broken America program has snowballed, and when it was replayed numerous times over the weekend, I got a funny feeling that this is going to serve as an impetus to really light a fire under a lot of folks' butts and help them to understand that, yes, there is a line in the sand, and it has been crossed. This is Dave Von Kleist.
And Joyce Riley, if you've been watching the news, you've been learning that probably we have killed the largest number of our military in this month. It is horrendous. It is beyond belief that so many people are dying, that we cannot win a war, that it is by design. And the tragic families that later on are going to be looking at this broken government.